On this episode of the Sales Quant podcast, we're going to discuss why not all pipeline is created equal. Really, it's about a focus on ways to assess not only the quantity of your pipeline, but the quality of your pipeline. And that's our exciting show for this evening. So hello and welcome to the Sales Quants. This is a production of Madison, Michigan and Markets. It's a weekly live show dedicated to data-driven sales leaders. And we are so glad you're joining us here tonight. So, and of course, we're joined by our good friend and resident sales analytics ninja, Scott Miller. Scott, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Jeff?
Hey, you know, it's Monday night. It's 9 p.m.
I might as well dive in.
Yeah, I mean, truth be told, I just ran in, picked my kids up from practice, and I have a half-eaten bratwurst here on the side. So if you don't mind, I may bite into that, go off camera, and like continue my dinner.
That's right. Gotta do what you gotta do. By all means.
Right. So yeah, look, this, you know, we're happy to have Scott here today, and really this goal, why all pipeline is not created equal. You know, it's easy to assume that if you have the volume, you're all set. But that's not the case. So, Scott, do you want to tee up this topic and tell us a little bit about kind of some initial thoughts on why a pipeline is not created equal?
Yeah, so getting started, right? Typically, when you talk about KPIs for sales, you know, the primary KPI typically is that actual bookings figure, right? How much you've actually sold. But arguably, just as importantly, you need to consider how much pipeline has been created, right? If you're focused on the current month, the current quarter, that's all well and good. Let's nail that current month, current quarter. But at the same time, let's set the table for future months, future quarters. So you got to kind of balance the two. If you're closing deals, you got to also focus on creating pipeline and vice versa, right? So that's what we have to do in order to ensure that the pipeline is always there. You know, at the same time, that art versus the science, right? So how much pipeline you have created? Hey, I've created $420,000. So that's the science part of it, obviously. So the art part of it is getting into the quality of it. It's okay, $420,000 on the surface, fine. But let's essentially peel the onion and let's dive into that $420,000 and look at the quality of this pipeline that you have created. So in how I think about it, there's two ways, essentially two mindsets when you're looking at this pipeline that you've created, right? You can look at it during the course of the month or quarter or just at the conclusion of the month or quarter, and then you can also revisit it a couple months, a couple quarters down the road to actually see the quality of that pipeline that was created earlier, or, you know, in earlier months or earlier quarters. So if you want to just dive in, right? So the immediate read on the quality for the current month, current quarter, or one that just ended, right? You can look, one thing to tune into is the concentration of large deals. You know, if you've created $5 million in pipeline in a particular month or quarter and 4.5 mil of that was attributed to one deal, one client, right? Arguably all your eggs are in one basket, right? 90% of that $5 million is attributed to one opportunity. If that opportunity doesn't work out, you're left with $500K in your hopper, which is much smaller than that 5 million, right? So getting all your eggs in one basket is certainly a risk factor to be tuned into. And then also looking at your particular team. If you're a sales management and you have, you know, 6, 7, 8 reps on your team, let's just say 80% of the pipeline that was created, you know, is attributable to one sales rep. Again, that's obviously somewhat risky because all your eggs are in this one sales rep's basket. Has this been a long time rep of yours, or is this a new rep of yours? And why aren't the other people on your team creating pipeline also? Why is all of it with this one person? So tuning into the spread across the reps is also certainly in your best interest.
So Scott, just even to back up for a second, when you talk about science is quantity and art is quality, and you know, analytics can be seen as a high, it's quantitative, right? And this is the Sales Quants show.
Yep.
And quantitative is in the word, and you know, it relates to quantity, but we're really saying there's an artistic element around quality that cannot be overlooked. And even if you hedge and shove a lot more volume in the pipeline, you're missing out unless you're really digging deep into kind of the artistic interpretation of the pipeline. So let's talk about the softer side for a second. Let's kind of go there if you want. Yep.
I missed that last line.
Talk about the softer side, the artistic side, the quality side perspective.
So, you know, you'll also want to look at staging of your deals, right? I mean, are all of the deals that have been created, are they all in that first stage of the sales cycle? So in that case, obviously, you have a lot of work to do on all of the deals. You know, at the same time, if some of the deals that have been introduced into the pipeline are in the mid sections of the sales cycle, right, then you're much further along and those deals are in fact closer to that finish line, arguably. So, you know, in that case, that's one element you need to tune into is the staging of that pipeline that has been created. So that's also frequently something that, hey, on the surface, you say, hey, I created $5 million. I added that to my pipeline. Okay, that's great, but talk to me about the staging. How far along in the cycle is this $5 million, right? And that gets to the quality of it. And you know, on that note also, kind of the projected close dates, right? If you know, we're in August 2017, and let's say you create the $5 million in your pipeline and you put an April of 2018 close date in for all of your pipeline. Okay, you have a big number you've added, but it's for far down, you know, 8 months from now or so.
Right. So that's an interesting question. Do you assess the pipeline volume and adjust it via probabilities based upon stage? Or do you adjust it based upon the probability of the forecast quality, right? So the historical track record of that individual, you know, can you get that precise?
Yeah, no, that's a fair question. That's a good question. So there's a couple ways to approach that, right? I've been in environments where you'll look at your sales reps, for instance, and you'll see that you have five sales reps, each with, you know, 10, 15, 20 deals in their pipeline. And you'll go deal by deal and assess a
Hey, Scott. Looks like we lost Scott. We had a technical error, but Andrew joined us, and Andrew asked a great question. He's curious to know around quality versus quantity and thoughts around velocity.
Hands on that to close. Yeah, I think we're getting the connection's getting a little fuzzy there. So, you know, and then the $50,000, 50% chance to close, obviously that could be forecasted for $25,000. So, you can, in fact, do that if you have a heavy count of deals. You can go deal by deal with a percent likelihood to close. At the same time, if you have only one or two or three larger deals, it's a little harder to do that percent likelihood to close, because if you have a deal in your pipeline for $500,000, you're either going to win the deal for $500,000 or you're going to lose it, which is zero. So there's no way of taking a 60%, 50%, 40% cut at that $500,000 amount. It's either all or nothing. So typically that pro rating, that likelihood to close metric is in fact a valuable tool when you have a heavy count of deals. But if you just have one or two big ones, it's a little more tricky.
Okay, so this forecasting and adjustment and the probabilities come in, the larger the sales team, the more distributed the sales force, the higher volume of deal flow. Because like you said, if you're a small business with just a handful of deals, it's very binary. You win or you lose, right?
Exactly. And when you have a huge deal flow like that, you're going to lose some of the deals you're anticipating winning. However, you're also going to pick up some deals that you didn't anticipate. The thought being that it would be somewhat of a wash, right? The hits and the misses arguably might cancel each other out. So net-net, you'd be roughly where you expected. But when you have just a few really large deals and you miss all – if you have three large deals and you miss all three, you're not going to have these smaller deals popping in the pipeline to kind of compensate for those big losses.
Wow. Yeah, so that – I mean, that speaks to the need for, you know, the volume and the throughput is critical. But, you know, forecasting – you know, it is. I know we talked about the fact that it's both a science and an art, but it sounds awful scientific because, like you said, from a hedging standpoint, I mean, you know, there are deals that close that you never thought would close, and there are deals that, you know, no chance in thunder, and they're gone. So
yeah, and some deals kind of seemingly come out of the woodwork. You're not expecting them. You know, they might be forecasted for 2-3 months down the road, and you know, by the luck of the Irish, it happens to pop into this month or this quarter way ahead of schedule, and you know that happens certainly. So that's going to make up for any deals that slip right out of the quarter.
All right. So here's a question. So you're the guy with the stick, right? So you've, you know, in your career worked for the VP or the, you know, chief sales officer, what have you, and say you have a regional sales director who really didn't forecast well but flew by the seat of his pants to manage to make his number. Now, is there punitive action on that person? Or is it kind of like, okay, that's fine. Just, you know, try again next quarter. Good for you. But, how, you know, how hard of a line would you take, and how much would you feed the fact that, you know, they made their number, but
Right. I mean, you'd always rather be higher than expected rather than lower than expected. So it's a good problem to have when you're above your number. But at the same time, right, the reliability of your forecasting, you know, if you're missing by a huge percent repeatedly, right, that's not doing the business much good at the end of the day, right? These sales forecasts feed into the financial projections. These financial projections get fed into, you know, whether your company rolls up within a larger company or if it goes to the street if you're publicly traded. So, you know, these sales projections feed the engine of the financials of the company. So, you know, having this huge variability, you know, once or twice here or there, sure, that's going to be expected. But at the same time, if it's regularly occurring, something should be done about that. And that's where, as we've talked in the past, the rhythm, the sales process, being tuned into to a well-defined sales process, and as you're doing your forecasting of your deals, you're considering the stages of the sales cycle. You know, are your I's dotted, T's crossed as you advance from stage A to stage B to stage C, what have you? So, you know, if you keep missing repeatedly, you know, that kind of screams out, hey, are you tuned into your sales process? If you have one, right? Some companies might not even have one. But if you have one, your forecasting should be aligned with the sales process as it's formally defined.
So then probably the larger the sales organization, the more deal flow, the variability probably gets washed out. And so from kind of the sales into the finance arm, everything's fine. But from the sales VP into a sales organization, there's probably a lot of coaching opportunities there. And so what experiences have you had, or what have you seen happen in sales organizations where the organization made its number and finance is happy, we're meeting our expectations, and the sales team should be happy and celebrate, but at the same point, there are individual pockets that probably need some support. So how do you assess the quality, and what's the coaching approach from that standpoint?
So the coaching opportunities are certainly something that needs to be capitalized on, right? At all turns of the process. So, you know, for instance, we're talking about creating pipelines. So, you know, you might say for your team, you've created $15 million in pipeline for that quarter. So that's great. Or there's improvement there. You know, how have you done in comparison to past quarters? And then also, you know, what are the expectations? Are there budgets and et cetera? And people's quotas, are quotas tied into pipeline created? So you can revisit, you know, you can visit that issue certainly. And at the same time, right, within one particular team, we can plot how much pipeline they've created in relation to their peers, right? So, you know, we've looked at these matrices, these graphs where we're plotting each individual sales rep, we're plotting what they've closed and what they've created, and right. We're kind of viewing them in balance against one another. So as a, you know, the management tool can be how a rep is performing in comparison to their peers. So, you know, looking at absolute numbers, it gives you a sense of how much pipeline has been created or what has been closed, but viewing it in comparison to your peers, as well as in comparison to your expectations, your budget, your quotas, that's always a management tool that you always need to be reflecting on at all times.
Right. So here, Scott, these are our fancy graphics, but kind of what that's you said right. Is on the x-axis, we have bookings, and on the y-axis, we have created. And, you know, with any good x-y axis, we want to be up and to the right. So you're looking for someone that not only has a high degree of bookings, but has created a lot of pipeline. And they're clearly your rock star. But if you have someone that basically has created a lot of pipeline, but they didn't book much this quarter, well, next quarter will be great. Or if you have someone that booked a lot, but they didn't do any pipeline generation, next quarter is going to stink for them, right?
Yeah, and at the same time, though, if you have someone high created, low bookings, as well as someone high bookings, low created, the thinking is that they'll balance each other out to some degree. It works well together because combined, they have a pretty decent creation of pipeline and they have a pretty decent bookings, pretty decent bookings. So that's why, right, as you said, where your little circle was there in the upper right, high bookings, high created, that's your rock star right there. You know, if you have somebody high end one, low on the other, they combine, that works pretty well. You have somebody low on both, the question becomes, you know, what have you been doing? What's going on? How do we improve that? So, you know, Right. Bringing metrics, giving visibility to them certainly is a valuable sales management tool.
So the sales managers you've worked with before, would they rather see, you know, I've had my own experience, right, where I've been on sales teams where I would crush it one quarter and dog the next and then crush it, and, you know, because you're closing deals, you're working deals, they're mid-funnel, low-funnel, you're not making calls, right? You're not making phone calls. So have you seen sales managers that kind of allow for that as long as the team is performing and he shields the individual?
That works.
No.
Because there's a story, you know, every sales rep has a story, right? Yeah. One particular quarter, you might have not created much and you might have closed a lot because you worked on this one deal that took an incredible amount of time and energy and more so than you had expected. So you were so dedicated to closing that one deal that, you know, as much as you don't want to give the excuse, I didn't have time to create pipeline. You know, there's extenuating circumstances. There's always a story, right? So it can be under create much because you were working on that one large deal. So yeah, that is a story that you do hear, and it's a matter of tuning into each of your sales reps, hearing the story that they have, and, you know, hoping that on the whole you're hitting your number for closing. And you're also hitting a good point in terms of how much you have created.
Right.
So that's something you got to tune into across your team.
Right. So all these things we're talking about, you know, we're current month, current quarter, you know, different organizations have pacing, some pace on a weekly basis, monthly, quarterly, some are annual, right? And those environments tend to be bigger, fewer, larger deals. But let's talk about how we get ahead of this and say, how do we plan and anticipate the quality of our pipeline 2 quarters out, 3 quarters out, even for a full year forecasting process?
Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, when you're looking out that far down the road, right? You need to see the pipeline that you have in place. You know, if you have pipeline, if your sales cycle is 90 days, 180 days, 270, you know, if it goes out a few quarters, you can have your close dates in place for your deals, and then you can have your pipeline measures for each of your future quarters. And as you approach those quarters, you'll want to assess the viability of the pipeline for those particular quarters. So one metric that I've tuned into a lot in those circumstances has been the progression of the pipeline. So, you know, you might have created pipeline in, depending on whatever your staging might be, let's just say for the sake of conversation that your initial stage is the engage stage. And if you created the pipeline in the engage stage back in May, you know, now we're in August, and let's just say it's still in the engage stage. So in terms of the progression of that pipeline, for that particular instance I gave, you know, in the 3 months since you've created it, the deal hasn't progressed in the cycle at all. So, you know, there, that being said, taking that approach to all of the deals in the pipeline and examining the extent to which deals have progressed from one stage to the next to the next to the next gives you a sense of the progression of that pipeline, how real that pipeline is, you know, and the you know, and the momentum that you have towards actually funding those deals. So, you know, a lot of people will create deals in their pipeline and kind of pat themselves on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, I have a heavy pipeline that I've created this quarter. Okay, great. You know, once we're a month, once we're a few months ahead from that point in time, we can look at that pipeline that you're patting yourself on the back about, and we can see essentially how well you have progressed that in staging. And you can also see, you know, you might have created 8 opportunities for $8 million total, and you might see 7 of those deals for $7 million has been lost, marked as lost after a few months. Okay, I question, was that pipeline real, or you know, some people tend to stuff the ballot box sometimes, right, just a pad pipeline in there. So, you know, this idea of examining pipeline a few months or quarters down the road after creation gives you a sense of the legitimacy of that pipeline, the quality of that pipeline, and how much you can actually count on it to actually close in the near future. So, you know, that gets, as I said before, kind of peeling the onion, right? You might say, hey, I made $8 million. Okay, let's peel the onion. Let's look at that $8 million and let's see the quality of that. And, you know, once deals are marked as won or lost, at that point, right, you can learn a lot from these past opportunities you've pursued. You know, the one deal analysis as well as lost deals analysis, right, you can really dive in and learn why you won particular deals, and then also you can learn why you lost particular deals, right? Yeah. So those are huge learning opportunities for that particular rep, for that particular manager, as well as across the sales team, right?
Right.
To which they collaborate. You know, you can say, hey, I worked on this client for this particular, maybe a new product that we're selling, and I didn't end up selling it to this client because, you know, they found a problem with this product, or there was a product that owns that marketplace that we just don't even stack up, that we don't stack up well against at all. So that's where collaborating in regards to one deal analysis and lost deal analysis can really contribute strongly in a team environment.
Right. And I even want to back up because you mentioned this notion of momentum and stage progression. One of the favorite reports I often look at, right? And like sometimes, yeah, people parking lot deals, right? They just throw a deal out, put a close date 6 months out, more or less almost as their, I hate to say the word, tickler file.
Yep.
That's creepy.
It's reality.
But looking at the average age of the opportunity and then the state, you know, the age of that opportunity compared to the stage duration.
Yep.
And just seeing that count. That's the first thing I always set up anytime I, you know, get into a new Salesforce instance. I look at their pipeline, you know, the time horizon, typically a 90-day forward pipeline. and say there are five stages, and you typically, there's a, you know, as we said, process, rhythm, and reporting, we've talked about a lot before, but there's a rhythm to the business, and you know the stages should progress, you know, there's a marker on every day, and if there are, if there's a deal stuck in a stage, and it hasn't budged, and it's moved beyond that typical duration that you see, I don't know. That's something. Do you force that one to get knocked out and close lost, or do you? How long do you let that sit there before you request
it? Yeah, sure. And that depends on the sales leader. That depends on the sales business, whatever the products might be. The average, you know, the average sales, the average aging of deals until they're sold. I mean, I've been in environments where leaders have said, "Hey, you know what? If we have deals that are 90 days old or more." And that haven't been touched, you know, the record in Salesforce.com or whatever CRM you have, the record hasn't been touched in 60 days, just mark it as lost.
Yeah.
Get it out of the pipeline because it's not real. You know, in that timing, 60 days, 9 days, 120 days, whatever it might be, you know, it certainly depends on the team and the average cycle and whatever the manager thinks. So there's no hard and fast rule as much as that process of marking stale deals and eliminating them from the forecast, that arguably should be part of every sales organization, you know, and the terms of which differ from company to company. But this idea of pushing these deals that are put in the parking lot and crossing your fingers, hoping something works out, but you're not actively working on that deal, that's not active pipeline, right? So let's push that out to the market as closed loss or push it out to an inactive pipeline. Because we need to be tuned into that as well, right? I mean, you need to see which clients, which products aren't getting any traction, right?
So, yeah. In fact, I love any deal that's stalled. Say they opened it real upper funnel, real early, too soon. Like literally somebody opened an email and barely replied or maybe agreed to a quick call. Yep. And they opened the opportunity. And, you know, had a quick conversation, didn't really go anywhere. And I often get the question, should I delete that opportunity because it really wasn't real in the first place? And my answer is always no, don't delete it because that historical insight, like you often see there are chronic prospects that surface every couple months kicking tires. And you want to capture those chronic tire kickers because if you see an opportunity open every twice, three times a year by that same individual, the same organization, it's always kind of the same result. It's like a quick burst and then nothing.
Yep.
That closed lost opportunity sitting on that record is really critical because then that lets you know that, look, hey, we've been around this one before. I wouldn't get your hopes up, you know, and even as a new rep comes in or maybe takes on that book of business, you can see that list of closed lost opportunities. And I think sometimes that closed lost data mining, it could be more helpful and beneficial than the closed one deals, right?
Agreed, absolutely. You got to learn from that. You know, and I'm never a fan of deleting deals, right? Because you never want to do that, as you just said. There's no point to deleting. But I have been in organizations where there's essentially a line in the sand between a quote-unquote a lead as well as a sales opportunity, right?
Right.
So if it's not, if a deal doesn't have legs necessarily, but it's a prospect, hey, let's leave it in that lead category, that lead bucket. And if you're a sales rep, you're a manager, you can regularly look in that bucket of leads, of prospects, and have the discussions of, hey, you know, you've had these deals in your lead. This has been a prospect for X number of months. What can we do to facilitate that deal and get it to get legs, to get entered into the system as a selling opportunity, right? So yeah. Is there potential for that? There might not be, in which case, just keep it in that lead parking lot.
So the marketer in me, you know, and this is my two sides of my brain, right? I have sales guy, marketing guy. I, of course, will put them in a nurture stream and try to send them emails and drive engagement and socially engage them to and send them so much value-added content and information and insights and education that they would literally have this enormous trust and credibility that we've built up,
right.
Which would then create the open opportunity. So I know that we're kind of veering off the rails here because Hey, like it is. This is a fun conversation, right? It's like I said, thank you everyone for joining us. This is a regular conversation we have with our buddy, Scott Miller, the sales analytics ninja, best guy in the business, really giving us deep insights into today was the quality versus the quantity of the pipeline and that not all pipeline is created equal. So Scott, I think we should probably resume our evenings here, right? And I'm going to finish my, my broad, you know, and, Scott, this has been a really valuable conversation. Any parting thoughts you have you want to share with the audience?
Not necessarily. I think we covered a lot of bases. I mean, as I said, I mean, you have a number, what you've closed or what you've created, and it's not just taking it on the surface, but diving into that and seeing what you can learn about the business. Taking the numbers on the surface, you know, contributes to your bottom line numbers, but at the same time, to actually learn, to extract key learnings from those numbers, you really got to dive in, ask the questions you need to ask. And, you know, as we were looking at pipeline that's created, we were evaluating it across staging, aging, progression, et cetera. You know, that those are steps that need to be taken in order to fully put your company in a better position. There you go. Right. There's the picture.
Right, right. Yeah, that's, you know, we get into that process, rhythm, and reporting, which we've talked about at length before. Yep. I mean, that, you know, you can get to the point where the trust you build, we were just talking about building trust with prospects, but the trust you build internally and the capital you gain from your organization, if even if, you know, you miss big or you miss small, if you predict the miss, you might be better off and can explain and talk about progressions and next steps, you know, to alleviate that pain the next time. So, all right, well, once again, thank you everyone for joining us. We greatly appreciate your time. Please visit us over on the salesquants.com, SalesQuants. Visit the contact us page, fill out a little note. Let us know what's your thoughts around how you like to assess the quality versus the quantity of your pipeline. And look for another episode next week. So thanks again, and I hope you have a great evening. Scott, thanks for joining us.